name is Kara Semler. I'm a staff attorney for the Public Utilities Commission, and in my capacity as a staff attorney, I work with the Pipeline Safety Group, I work with our Consumer Affairs Group, and I work with the One Call Board. Clearly, all three very important groups that affect your daily operational life. As I think we just demonstrated, the complexity and how federal and state rules and regulations kind of all weave together, it's complicated. And in this proposed rulemaking, we're not trying to make a headache of the already complicated interpretation. Rather, I argue that these rules put into a formal process what's already being practiced, and I argue that it can make life easier. We have rules such as this for our telecom enforcement, for electricity, for everything else, and I believe it's only appropriate that now Pipeline has the same thing. So the process that we went through in beginning the drafting of these rules, we looked at a variety of other states and other jurisdictions and what they use for process. So we started with that. We put some words together. We sent it out to operators. We asked for comments. We got some great comments. Thank you to those that helped along that way. We've now filed it with the commission, and a pipeline safety docket has been opened, or a rulemaking docket, excuse me, has been opened. The commission has opted to have a second round of comments before we actually get into the rulemaking formal process. Rulemaking is part commission process and part legislative process. After the commission gets done with what they do, the rules will head over to a legislative review committee, and they'll have a second bite at the apple, and they'll get to, again, review all of these rules. So the comment period established within the commission, by April 30th, the commissioners are looking for comments from the operators. May 11th is a deadline for staff to respond to those. At that point, the commission will formalize the rules that they intend to use in their rulemaking process. They'll have a live hearing, and then they kick it over to Legislative Review Committee. And the LRC will have a live hearing, and again, anyone's welcome to participate in that. So there's some extensive comment. There should be some great conversation throughout this process. The next slide. Jumping into the actual substance of the rules then, as with all statutes and rules, we have a definition section. And that definition section attempted to mimic all the federal definitions, and we got some great input from the operators, too, on where our definitions weren't exactly the same. So, again, we thank you for that. Also, as a default process, if we don't cover everything in these rules, the rules indicate that we default to the PUC process. The PUC, we have meetings every other week, nearly every other week at the PUC, and there's some extensive civil process involved in that. So if we come across a situation not covered in our administrative rules, PUC process will cover that. Again, we reiterate a general cooperative effort that we're heading towards. I know all of you understand the importance of that as well. The rules start with some explicit direction on when inspections can be held. They can be scheduled. They can be done upon complaint. They can be done as a follow-up or if there's a safety threat. And PUC hearings, or just, commission meetings, really. That isn't, when I say hearings, it's not necessarily a very formal process. Those can be done at our regular commission meetings. They're available at any time to solve any sort of conflict that can arise in the course of pipeline safety inspections. And we already heard about the statutory fines and penalties. So the first type of activity that the rules touch on are routine inspections. An inspection report is drafted after every inspection. And within that report, the inspector will indicate a summary of probable noncompliance issues, if any exist. There may be none. And Nathan previously went through those three different categories of probable noncompliance issues. The inspector can also suggest a remediation plan, and he can suggest a time frame in which to comply with that plan. Time frames can be extended. Again, I think as both Nathan and Stacy did stress, just give us a call and let us know so we're aware that time frames may be a problem. And of course, the copy is provided to the operator. We're looking for operator response to these reports, and that's really in a goal to increase documentation, so we have more of a documented dialogue with the operators. So if probable violations or warnings do exist, the operator has a couple different options. The operator could simply admit that it happened. Now, I should start by saying that these regular inspection reports are not going to be docketed with the commission. They won't be filed with the commission. They're going to be within the pipeline safety just records. So the operator could admit the violation, comply with the inspector's recommendations, end of the story there. Or if the operator disputes any portion of the probable violations or the operator or the inspector's recommendations, the operator could file something in writing to indicate what areas the operator disputes. The result of that could be either an amended report or recommendations by the inspector, or it could be a commission hearing. Any questions on that? I'm going to pause just because this is, although I think how it is currently happening, it's you see in words, it can look different.
Right now, there's an interim step that Nathan does prior to issuing a report where he calls the operator and says, this is what we found, this is what will be in the report, is this what you see also? Is he still going to do that step, or is that step going to be removed?
I assume that's something that you're still going to do.
I still plan on doing that, yes.
What was the question?
Just if you have any concerns with this proposed rulemaking regarding the routine inspections. Oh, the question, Melissa's question.
Yeah.
It was whether Nathan will do an interim informal conversation with the operator prior to issuing a report. The answer was yes. Okay, moving on to incidents then. The proposed rules deal with incidents separately from routine inspections. The operator does have some incident reporting requirements, which I know you're all very familiar with. And to also contact, to contact the federal government for those federal regulations, but also to contact Nathan or Stacy at the earliest practicable time. Incidents will be docketed immediately, and so that maybe helps answer the question with Stacy earlier. I mean, we'll just assign a docket number right away, so you'll have access to the commission immediately. And when things are docketed at the commission, we have a docket filing system. Anything you submit to the PUC under that docket number gets distributed to commissioners, to staff, to everybody. So it opens an immediate dialogue amongst the commission and the operators and staff. And I will mention, too, that the docketing of incidents isn't something that's has happened before, and that's something that it will be in our rules based on commissioner's request. They really want to know what's happening in an incident. The only way they can know is if it's docketed. So this is based on commissioner request. The inspector will do his or her inspection according to the federal regulations. And in the course of that investigation, it's reasonable to think that there's going to be a necessary dialogue between the operator and the inspector. And so those requests for information, we've just put a time frame on it of 10 days so we can keep things moving. Those will be written questions, just trying it just takes so long, and there's so many civil issues and other things that can arise in these. We want to get our process done as quickly as possible. And again, any disputes will be resolved in front of the commission, whether that's a dispute amongst property owners, whatever it might be, that comes up. And then the operator reply to an incident report. After the dialogue, after the information exchange, the inspector will issue an incident report. And the rules put a 30-day reply period on after issuance of that report. And again, timeframes can be extended, so we simply ask for some notice on that. Failure to reply to the report will be considered consent. And that's very similar to what civil rules of procedure have and what our other commission rules have. We want to reply. Several different things can result. One could be, there could be an agreement. And this is certainly the goal, is that everybody agrees with what happened, and you agree with how to correct it, and the result of that could be a settlement, a written documentation of the agreement between the parties that then would get filed in front of the commission, and the commission could approve it. Again, the docketing of this and the formalization of all this is based on commissioner request. There could be a substantiated disagreement with the inspection report, and in that case, based on the reply from the operator, that could result in an amended inspector report, or if you can't reach an agreement and no one's backing down, it could result in a hearing in front of the commission. Any questions on how we're going to be handling incidents in our proposed rules? Just some other items in our proposed rules are change in ownership. We've asked for some notice regarding that. There is a statutory provision that takes care of exchanges in ownership that are valued at $10 million and more. And we can see that there could be some small changes of ownership that could be less than $10 million, and we simply need to know for notice requirements and for correspondence. And we've asked for a copy of some of your federal reporting forms. And of note, from our original submission and request for a rulemaking docket to the commission to date, staff has made some changes. And one of those is our notice requirement for new construction. And you can see up on the board what those changes are. And we've eliminated the rule originally proposed on landfill gas. Also of note, from our first request for information from operators to date, we've removed the small incident reporting. I think that came up earlier today. Distribution lines greater than 1 mile.
Was that in the version you sent out?
No, this is a change. In the version that
was just transmission, in the version you sent out, I thought.
That's correct, yes.
When was this done, or how can I get a copy of this?
This was filed with the commission the beginning of
the docket.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just added to it?
Nope. This was all filed when we filed it March 9th with the commission. The original rules that I sent out for comment in February.
I thought you were filing this after the comment period.
Oh, you're right, Nathan. I'm wrong. These are changes that after we get operator comments on this to the commission, this is what staff intends to include in it. It's May 11th.
This was based on additional feedback we got out late.
Just so I understand, the additional feedback is currently what's on the docket right now is that we as operators will have to let you know whenever we're installing a transmission line. Staff is now proposing that we'll have to let you know not only when we're installing a transmission line, but on any distribution lines greater than 1 mile.
That was on and then off again, right?
That's correct. The intent was we would like to be notified if you're doing large subdivision development or something like that. And if this wording isn't right, please submit some wording that suits you. But that was the intent. We would like to be notified if there's large subdivisions that we should be inspecting. Something on that order.
Good news?
I'm wondering, are you going to have the same requirements for that distribution line where we have to submit full plans, full maps, all that kind of stuff, or are you going to make a separate rule for that one where we just have to let you know that we're going to be installing a distribution line 1 mile in this subdivision?
You already have all the plans, so I don't think it would apply, but we can clarify that in the rulemaking.
It'll be under the same provision. Okay, yeah. That answers my question.
So with that, I guess I would just, again, we look forward to getting your comments, which I assume will be coming here now this next week, or due at the end of the month. Any questions?
Don't shut it off.